Take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Again, tonight is a live broadcast, Thursday, April 18, 2024. Honored to be here with Evangelist Gary Stafford and Pat Barrett. Brother Pat, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Brother Gary, over to you, my friend.
All right. Well, Brother Pat, how about opening us in prayer?
Sure. Well, Father, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon everyone listening, Lord, and I just ask that they hear your voice, Lord, in the spirit, in their heart. And, Lord, we just give you full authority here, Lord. And I just ask that, Lord, that everything goes smoothly, Lord, that we just speak, Lord, that's on your heart. And, Lord, that Lord, we just come against anything of blockages or anything else, Lord, the enemy wants to put up. We just break his power. We just command it all to be silent right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just give you all the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome you, Pat, and good evening, fellow listeners. You know, how in the world are you today? Some of you are having breakfast and some are having dinner. So we have a special guest, Pat Barrett, who's been on our program by popular demand over the last few years, and his specialty is deliverance and setting Christians free who had never known that they had a problem that would interfere with a call on their lives. My God. You didn't know that, did you? Well, I tell you, we have a lot to cover this evening, and including the taking of worldwide communion later in the program, and you might want to take a few moments to set aside some wine or grape juice or some crackers or bread so that you'll be ready to take communion toward the end of the program. Now, Pat, good evening.
Hi.
I thank you for taking the time to be on the Make a Man Radio. And today, and folks, you can also listen to previous programs in which Pat has shared by going to episode 47, 78, 51, 54, and also to 55, 46 on the Make a Man Radio Sound. And you'll just be blessed because he has told time and time again how he sets the captives free so that they can do the things of God they were preordained to do. Preordained to do. So we'll just take a moment and let's get on with our program. Now, Pat, you said you were born and raised in Babylon, Long Island, New York, and being the oldest of three brothers. And now in later years, the family moved to Poughkeepsie, New York, where you finished your education and graduated with honors and Pace University with a B.S. in criminal justice. Now, that's kind of interesting. Well, it's, why criminal justice?
Well, at that time, I always wanted to be a cop. And so I went to college for it. And, you know, I wanted to get a job, in a federal job, you know, like alcohol, the background firearms agent, or the FBI, or, you know, and different federal jobs. But you needed 4 years of education. So after I had that, it took me 6 years to get 4 years of education. And some of it was part-time. But then what happened, I found I didn't have the experience. And they would hire someone who worked at IBM in security before they hired me, since I had no experience. So, so I tried to get New York City Police Department, and I was not taken because of sacralumbar in my back, which I have no problems with my back, never did. But they took me as a New York City correction officer. So I was a correction officer for a year. Then I went to LAPD as a cop for another probably 2.5 years. And that was in 83, 84, and 85. And that was it. I came back and just did my tree business. You know, you work with your future, and I saw my future, and I really didn't like it. And I'm no different than anybody else. And I didn't want to work 2 and 3 jobs to support things with, you know, your family falls apart after 5 years because of your job. And, you take things lightly, you know. And it was just a problem in the family. So anyway, I decided, well, I'm going to just go back to my tree work, and that's what I did. At least I was content. So we had a tree service for, I don't know, 40 years after that.
Wow. I understand in January of 1987, in your own in your old bedroom, something happened that you had never seen before. What was that?
Gee, you kept all the notes, huh? Yep, that's true. In 1987, I was laying in bed and just asking the Lord if he's real, reveal himself to me. And I asked the Lord in my heart, and it had an issue of a girl that just kind of left. And I know I wasn't saved at the time, and I had no reason why she left. And I found out later that she was seeing somebody else or this or that. And I'm just, you get upset. So I said, well, Lord, if you're real, then reveal yourself to me. And he did. It was like a bright light in my bedroom. I was laying there, and all of a sudden, a bright light came on my eyes. It was really, really bright. I opened my eyes, and it was just dark in the room. And I got up and looked out the window and see if any car pulled in, you know, bright light. But there's no one there, and it was the wrong angle anyway. Went back to bed again. I laid there, and I'm just talking to the Lord. And all of a sudden, a bright light came in again. It was like an orange light from the top left, and it came down from the top left, my peripheral vision, even though my eyes were closed. And all of a sudden, it got super bright. And I laid down, so I'm not going to, you know, I felt it was the Lord because there's nothing there. So I just stayed there. And I tell you, it was so bright, and my face felt the heat, and my body, I felt a little vibrating. And I just, it was so, so bright that I had to turn my face away. And I just started talking to him, although I didn't see him, but it did light. And tears were coming out of my eyes just from the heat and filling up my ears. And that made a blend. And something happened that night that everything changed. After I asked in my heart, which I did many other times, but this time something really happened. And it seemed like nothing bothered me anymore, and I was that sensitive about little things. You know, I was raised by my father's next Marine, so, you know, he didn't really want us to cry, to give us something to cry about. So what happened is, you can cut your finger off, and you wouldn't cry, you just get angry, like, you know, and then you're not going to cry, you just get so, but anyway, yeah, he changed my life, and things just went on from there, just revealed himself more and more and more to me. And I was always speaking to him myself. Because, you know, I came from a Catholic background. I couldn't tell my parents anything because I think I'm crazy. And so I just said, Lord, just keep teaching me. And that's, you know, one thing led to another.
Well, you know, I understand that you were hungering for more of God, whether you knew it or not. And you're seeking answers and the gifts of the Spirit. And then suddenly in 1990, you meet Rodney Howard Brown, the evangelist, up in Hyde Park, New York. And Rodney tells you He tells her you have a hunger in your head, but not in your heart. You continue to search for the answers, and in 1991, at a man's retreat, the Holy Spirit falls on you, and no doubt about this, and you feel your heart and the heat that's going with it, and then in your hand, you realize that you have oil in your hand. It wasn't there before, and then you realize the gifts of deliverance and healing are important to you, and then you start speaking in tongues. Wow. Boy, this is really something else. You started functioning in your life like so many of us who have been given the same gift and didn't know it. But you move on this, and it starts changing your life.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I never heard of deliverance. I never knew what that word was. I just thought it in the movie Deliverance, and this pastor told me the Lord's going to use it in deliverance. After I started speaking in tongues, because I couldn't do it all. So one of the counselors that was at that meeting, he went in my ear and says, "Pastor, just follow what I say. Just go t-t-t-t-t-t." So I went t-t-t-t-t, and all of a sudden he said, "I go t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t." And I was like, "I couldn't do that." It took about 7 times on him not giving up, and all of a sudden I was able to follow him, which blew my mind. And as I was standing, I just couldn't believe that was happening. It's just released. And anyway, next thing you know, I was on the ground as you were just speaking. And I thought I was down there for 15 minutes. But I remember Rodney said, whenever you fall on the ground, as far as slaying the spirit, make sure you stay there. Do not get up until the Lord is done, because it's the Lord's operating table. So I just stayed there. And I tell you, I felt the waves. And eventually, he just kind of simmered in. But I was down there for an hour and a half, and it only felt like 15 minutes. And anyway... So then the pastor would tell me, "Pat, the Lord's going to use you powerfully in deliverance." And like I said, I'd look it up what it meant or read some stories, but there's no particular prayer. I was looking for a prayer, how to pray, but it just comes from your heart. So anyway, Pat, started asking for divine appointments. So I did.
Seems like there have been a lot of divine appointments, and I have a book here. You probably haven't read it, but I would suggest that you do, because it says, "Lives Forever Changed, My Spiritual Adventures with the Lord," and oh my God, it's written by you.
Yeah, we just did this maybe about 5 months ago, and people have been telling me probably since 1993, 1994, "You got to write a book. You got to write a book." They said, "Why does this stuff happen to you?" I saw divine appointments and people manifesting and just talking to the manifest. I mean, it caught me by surprise so many times. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories of that, just with people. Like every third day, someone will be manifesting or just talking to me, and their teeth will chatter. And the Lord is teaching me on his job, per se. And I was asking, though, "Lord, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Give me divine appointments." And, so anyway, that's what started out, and it got really intense. They said the Lord will not give you more than you can handle. But I tell you what, it was really on the line, and it was stuff that the Lord puts the words in your mouth, because I come out of that, of helping someone. I said, "Wow, that was really cool. I didn't know anything, but these people think I know all this stuff. Wow, you really know what you're doing. I didn't know anything. This is all new to me." And I didn't tell. I said, "Listen, man, that's just the Lord. I can't do anything." And, anyway, so that's what happened. So this pastor, this really changed my life. This one particular thing he said, because sometimes I see things. Sometimes it gets a little, I can sense it, and I get kind of, my heart goes boom, 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 boom. So I told the pastor, I said, "You know what? I don't know what I saw, but man, I tell you, I got like scared." And he kind of admonished me, like yelling. He said, "Don't you ever, ever, ever be afraid of this stuff. First of all, Pat, you're not doing it. The Lord is bringing it up. He's the one bringing it up. You're not bringing it up. So if he's going to bring it up, then he's going to deal with it, and he wants to use you to set the captives free. You just listen to what he tells you, and you won't fear nothing, because he will not let anything of of darkness or in the spirit touch you. He said the flesh can hit you, though. If someone gets angry, it's the flesh. But the Lord will give you discernment, and you know what's what, you know, so you can discern it. And I tell you, I started doing that. Now these things manifest, and they tell me they're king of the north. Unbelievable stuff that happens. And I just rebuke them in Jesus' name. And I learn a lot of stuff because it brings me deeper and deeper into ministry. And I can see things on different people, you know, and it's so easy to get people free. I'm telling you what, that's the easy part. The hard part for people is to stay free, to change your life,
what?
Change your habits. And the hard part is for people to stay free and not go back into their sin or their habits that leads to sin. And that's where it really is. The deliverance is really easy. I mean, it really happens if they want to be set free. And that's another whole story in itself. Because some people don't want to be set free. They just like where they're at. And what I do, I just, you know, you wipe the dust off your feet and you move on. And but anyway, yeah, it's very interesting. So I had to write a book about things, but people kept asking me, how do you know this? How do you know that? And I think the best way to do, I wrote a book to answer everybody's questions that I remember. And these experiences, I tell you, I can live them in my mind. I can think of them, and I can picture everything. And so I wrote it so these stories, so people can try to experience what I'm experiencing. It's not like just information. It's not information. It is information, but it's not something you experience, because I found out when I tell stories of the things of the Lord, that people remember the stories. They remember the experience or the story. But if you do a teaching or a lecture, they won't remember it. They'll forget it next week. And I see that in church, you know, and just an example, and you know, when somebody came up to me one time and said, hey, Pat, you know, you missed last week. It was really, really good, because I wasn't there. And I said, oh, really? I said, hold on a minute, because I want to get the pastor. I want to show him something, because this is something, you know, it's like a word of knowledge or whatever. I called the pastor over and I say, listen, as a woman, I know her name was, I say, Sue. I said, she want to tell you something. It was really good last week, your message. Oh, thank you very much. And I said, well, hold on a minute. Tell me one thing that he spoke about. Well, you said it was really, really good. You know, just tell me anything. Let me get my notes. No. You're not going to get your notes. Just tell me. And she didn't remember anything. And I looked at him. I said, see, this is what I'm telling you. They have to have an experience, but they remember experience from the Word of God, then pray and have the Holy Spirit come and give them the experience of the Word you just, the Lord's Word that you just spoke. But anyway, yeah. So I'm into the experience things of the Lord, and this is some of the stories I put in here. I put in not the real scary stories. Maybe I'll do a sequel book on that. But it's all teaching. It's not just about a scary thing, but it's something that how the enemy, the authority you have. You know, I find out that the church has no idea at large of their authority. And it's very sad. I mean, I could tell you stuff that will just blow you away of the authority that you all carry. He's no respecter of people. I'm no more special than anybody else. But we're all special to the Lord because he's in love with us. He his heart is, he has a jealous love for us. And so you operate out of his jealous love for the people, and you know, you speak what he wants you to speak, and you'll see things happen. So I'll tell you one
more thing. It's amazing.
One more thing I gotta say, though.
And I imagine most people don't even know that they have a destiny. Tell them about the destiny they have.
Well, we all have a destiny, you know, with the Lord. And some of us just don't believe it. Or they're in it's like a dead church where they're not challenged or it's not recognized. And so you don't see, but everyone has a destiny with the Lord. And sometimes, I'm telling you, all you got to do is ask them. And I can tell you something else. Sometimes people have a desire in their heart, and it's a great thing, and they just can't see themselves doing it. But they get excited about their dream or their thought that they feel, man, I wish the Lord would use me that way. And I said, well, what's your dream? I feel this in my heart. I said, you know, that's the Lord. The Lord puts the desires in your heart. You just start praying, well, Lord, start giving me divine appointments in that area. And you have to expect it to happen, because expectation is like faith. Believe in things yet not seen as if they are, you know, as if they were. And I'm telling you, in a couple of days, he'll give divine appointments. You got to put your little spiritual antennas up so you catch things and you're aware, and it's just expected. And he does. And it's amazing. So The big thing
it's amazing. It's amazing that we have a call on our lives that we know nothing about.
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing people don't know.
Or tell them how you would get your destiny or at least start working toward your destiny, because, I mean, you have to start somewhere, and you don't want to head in the wrong direction. You know?
All right. I'll just tell you. Yeah. I'll tell you a couple of things. real important that this is not taught in the churches, unfortunately. But you ask the Lord, when I speak, no, it's written that there's a scripture, the enemy trembles at the mention of his name. But when they hear his voice, I tell you what, they scream and they run. So, Lord, over and over I pray for, Lord, I just ask that in the spirit, Lord, that the darkness hears your voice coming out of my mouth. And you will see a difference right away. The other thing is, very important, I don't bind anything, okay? They're already bound in the presence of Christ within you. And you have to know that. Because if you start to bind stuff, they'll laugh at you, the darkness, and they'll recognize you don't really know who you are. You don't know your authority. Because it's no longer that you that lives, but Christ in you, okay? So when you're ministering to people, you're looking at them through his eyes. So when they look at you, Lord, let them see your eyes in me. And sometimes they can't even look at you. I'm telling you, it's too bright or this or that. And the other thing is that, Lord, let them see, let me feel what they feel to a point that you can handle it, because the Lord is so compassionate and so loving. And I want to feel what they feel. And it just changes you. And for an example, I'll go down the street and I'll see this kid that fell, you know, maybe 2-year-old kid that was with the mother. And, the kid tripped and fell down, started crying. And had a little bit of bloody knee just in the cracks of his, you know, the little wrinkles in his knee and little stones sticking in it. And I tell you what, the normal Pat, I mean, the past Pat, would just say, "Hey, stupid kid, you know, look where he's walking." Well, what happened to me, just by asking the Lord, you know, to give me divine appointment and favor and let me feel through his heart, let me see through his eyes, I almost felt like crying. And I was like, I had to keep blowing it off. I almost felt like crying. See, I can even feel it now that I even speak it. But anyway, but I was never like that. As I said, my father's next to me, man. I'll give you something to cry about. So we all, you know, we didn't cry at all, really. We just sucked it up. And maybe anger came and took its place. I don't know. But the Lord set us free from all that, you know. But, so it just grows and grows and grows. Now, the one thing that this is super important, too, when I got saved, this one pastor told me, Pat, you have all the love of God in you right now. You know, you got saved, and, you know, the Holy Spirit comes upon you with all the love of God. He does not spoon feed us, okay? You have it all. And I looked down and said, well, really? Well, how come I don't feel any different? If I have all the love of God in me, I mean, I don't feel a thing, you know? And he said, well, you know why, don't you? And this is the prayer. This is an effective prayer of a righteous man that says avails much. And this is a big opening, I'll tell you. Lord, he just told me, just ask the Lord to uncover his love in you. Because there's things of the world, the things of maybe even original sin or things in your life that's covering up his love, because it's there. So my prayer was, Lord, I give you permission to uncover your love in me, Lord, whatever it takes, whatever it is. You know, give me dreams, show me things, what's ever there. You know, any judgments, any of this. So I do more of my forgiveness thing. But then sometimes they'll give me a little dream about a little kid, maybe in second grade. I remember what he looked like, but I remember he was a bully, but he never really bothered me. But why did I see it? So, Lord, I just said, Lord, I just forgive him, and I release him, and I set him free through the blood of Jesus. And, Lord, I just ask you to fill that area with your love. Now, this is another thing. People fill them areas with the Holy Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit upon you. Okay, you want the Father's love to fill those areas in your heart. Because as that happens, the love is already there, but just fill those empty areas, those dark areas, as we give up things to the Lord, as we confess and give things. It's always an exchange. Whatever you give away, Lord, fill that area with your love that's already there. Eventually, what happens is that darkness starts to get lighter, okay? It starts to get pushed off. And his light of his heart, which is his power, and even the healing starts to get brighter in you, and you don't see it. You don't recognize this, but you, in the spirit, become very bright. And what happens, it empties, it goes outwards. and people around you will start manifesting. I experienced it firsthand. Or they'll be speaking, you'll be in a crowd, and someone will be speaking, they'll come up to you, and they'll say, you know, I want to apologize. I don't know who they are. Like, you know, while I was over here, and I just cursed, and I was, you know, speaking vulgar language, and I just want to ask you, you know, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I didn't hear a thing. I know what you're talking about. That's the Lord. That's the conviction that the Lord puts in people's hearts. And that's who you are. That's who Christ in you is. And you become a different person. And once you start to understand your authority, I don't receive anything. I just break the power. I go to the doctor. They may tell me something. I tell them right to his face. I say, you know what? I know you're a Christian, but I break the power of your words. I don't receive any of it because by his stripes I'm healed. And I command any of this stuff to go to the cross where it belongs. And when you're praying for people, you got to realize also that the enemy is already defeated. Okay? You got to remember that. And you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't put your eyes on the darkness. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Because your eyes on the darkness doesn't do anything, but your eyes on the Lord, and he gives you words, and his presence is there, and things just happen. So like I said, deliverance is very simple. And, I mean, there's more intense things than I'm telling you, but the enemy is not creative. He uses the same tactics, maybe a little bit different here and there with people. The people change, but the tactics stay the same. And it could be an array of maybe 50 different things that he can do, that he does. Speaking to our thoughts, you know, sexual stuff. Sexual stuff is a big thing these days because of the media and everything else, and people get in bondage with pornography and all kinds of stuff. And so setting them free is easy, but staying free, you got to tell them a different prayer, how to ask the Holy Spirit to put a check in their spirit. So when this stuff is coming over the mountain, it comes over a hill to you, really, and you can sense it before it even comes. And you can feel it. You got to get used to it. Just feel it and command it right now in Jesus' name. I command anything of darkness that wants to come to me, that wants to come over that hill, is putting his boots on, I command you to stay there. You cannot come near me. And you'll be waiting for this anxiety or this fear, and it just doesn't come. And what happens is resist the enemy and he flees. And that temptation for those particular sins, you'll have a choice. It won't be so, you know. And if you wait too long, it's like, it's right there on you. And then you're fighting something that's already upon you. And it's a lot harder to do that. So, yeah, so many shortcuts. So that's why I had to write a book. And I got many stories, true stories in this book. I maybe have 25 stories. It's like 36 chapters. I got something about repetitive unforgiveness, which is a real big issue in people's lives. And some people are on medication because of it. You know, they got divorced or they got cheated on or something happened, and they keep forgiving the person. And every time they see them or smell a perfume or a cologne or see something, a car they would drive, the thoughts come back again, what they did to them, you know, what they suffered. And the thoughts come back, and they're dealing with it. Then they'll say, oh, my God, I got to forgive them again. And they forgive the person again, but it's repetition. But there's a way to quit it, just like that. But it's not being taught. The stuff I have written down in most churches is not taught. And it will change your life. This stuff will change the stuff I got. I got so much stuff in this, you know. And I got, this is only part of it. I took an area, maybe like 5, 10, well, maybe 10 different areas of ministry. And I wrote about the stories. And I got so much more, but I don't want to make the book too big. It's only 200 and something pages. If I make them too big, people won't read it. And I'd rather have people read. I can always write a sequel. And the sequel may be a little bit more intense. But anyway, and this tells you how to minister. I mean, you know, in church you'll hear things about how to pray for people, you should pray for people, but they don't know how. They don't know how to do it. They don't understand. How do you know this? How do you know? They have to be taught. And a lot of churches, they don't have time, or they don't have, you know, I don't know what the story is. They got other things going on. And I don't know. You just see things, and sometimes it's a good word. It's not all darkness either. Sometimes it's you know, I ask the Lord's voice to speak, and you speak uplifting things to somebody, even if they're down in a hole or something. You speak. You got to see them finished. The Lord sees them finished, even if they're in a hole or they're deeply in sin. The Lord sees them finished. So you got to talk to someone that gives them a desire in their heart to be finished. That their hearts will start to be convicted. The Lord starts convicting their heart, not putting them down or tell them where they are. They already know where they're at. But they don't know how the Lord sees them. So you have to speak to them how he sees you. You know what? You got a calling in your life, man. What do you mean? Well, you know, I can see you doing this and that. And I said, you have a heart to help people. I mean, you know, and you're like an entrepreneur. It builds them up. And it's true what I see. But what happens, they grasp on to their own destiny, as you were just on before, and they grab hold of it, and the Lord just takes over. And I just have to encourage them here and there and there, and they just change. I mean, totally. And I got a couple of stories of guys used to work for me, and I had a tree business, and I maybe had maybe about up to 20, 23 guys working for me. These guys were, one guy I have, he spent most of his life in prison for all kinds of stuff. So I had a lot of guys on parole. I had some guys on probation. And these are tough dudes. And I didn't put up with them. But then the Lord started speaking to me. I didn't write anything about this. Just another book I have to write about how you can change people's life. Where they come to you and ask for advice. And all, next thing you know, they started calling me dad. But anyway, and these are guys older than me. I was in my 30s. And these guys were in their 40, 45, some of them. But, yeah, the Lord has a destiny for you. And if you feel it in your heart, start asking the Lord, Lord, give me a divine appointment tomorrow and show me favor. You should be doing that anyway, even regardless of praying for people. Lord, because it only takes one person that you can meet that will change your whole life. And you may never meet them. You ask the Lord for a divine appointment, you just meet them. And they'll show favor. And my kids can tell you stories after stories. It blows me away, the stories they tell me. My daughter's 45 now, and my son's 43. And they will tell you stories of the authority and what they do, and people want to work. They work for them, they get jobs for them, you know, doing something for them, and then at the end, they don't want any money from them. It's just something about you guys. I don't want to take any money. And no, no, you got to do that. You made a price. You know, we're going to pay you. No, that's okay. You know, it's just something about you guys. They have a reputation of being in the right place at the right time, but it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the favor of the Lord. And if there's a program and it's full, they have to just call and go, oh, it's full. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, give me a call if there's any opening. They always get a call. Listen, you're not going to believe this, but we got an extra room, an extra person we could use, and we'll use your daughter. So it's just like unbelievable. So anyone who's really even listening, I tell you what, the Lord is no respecter of people. He loves us all the same. And he will do for you what he does for anybody. And if you ask him, I'm telling you, and expect it to happen, okay? You'll see. He just opens doors and puts people in your life to take care of certain things. And it's a testimony. After you start feeling it, then you expect it all the time, and the Lord does. The Lord just showed me this. The Lord send people to know divine appointments, favor, even a parking spot. I mean, it goes down to he's in love with you. And what happens, you become mindful of them all the time. You know, and this is one thing. A lot of people get lonely. When I get lonely, I change it around. You know, I get lonely at times. Even, it doesn't matter if you're married or people around, you still sometimes get this lonely feeling. And that's, to me, I turn around, that's the Lord's calling card for me because he's lonely for me. So what I do, I go to some room and I just get on my knees, Lord, you know, here I am. And I'll just be quiet. I may say a short little line of prayer and be still. Like you said, be still and know I'm God. And I know he's God. And he'll just speak to you. And it only could be like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And I tell you, you'll walk out of that room and you'll just feel loneliness is gone. And you're set. It's like unbelievable, really. But it's not unbelievable because he wants to spend time with you. He's jealous, has a jealous love. But anyway, there's just little things like that that changes people's lives. That you're never alone. You feel alone? No. It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He sticks closer to you than a brother. It's no longer that you that live, that he lives in you. I mean, he's right there. You draw near to God, or he'll draw near to you. And when he does draw near to you, what you want to do is you draw near. You want to become one in him, okay? Well, I want to be one in you. And you got to ask. It's not impossible. Somebody said, I'm speaking, well, that sounds good for you. It sounds good for baloney. That's, you're being deceived by the enemy because he is no respecter of people. And anyway. So yes, I wrote this book and explained a lot of things like children abused by their fathers or father figures. You have people in the church, I tell you, even the intercessors that we ministered to, not particularly in our church, we put an ad, we put cards out when we moved out of state, when we moved to a new location, we put cards in the delis and the coffee shops that we do, you know, multiple personalities or DID. People have nightmares, you know, really bad nightmares, concurrent nightmares. And it's just a lot of different things we put on the card. Well, we got so busy, in 1 month we had to take them out of all the cards because there's so many people from all different churches coming to us, calling us, because they have these issues. And we start to learn that, you know what, this is really a problem in the church today. And there's this woman that you can ask, the first thing I ask, and you know, for people who are ministering, is you got to find out what the relationship with the Lord is. So if Jesus was here right now, okay, standing right here in front of us, and what would he say to you? Well, what would you say to him? So that's not so bad. But when you say, okay, now the Heavenly Father is standing here, and he's saying right here, what would he say to you? Or what would you say to him? I don't want to say nothing to him. Why? Because he let this person abuse me when I was a kid, and he didn't do anything. And my father and my uncle abused me, and he didn't do nothing. He didn't stop it. And here they want healing for something else. And it's like, you know what? We have to resolve this relationship first before we go on to what you really want prayer for. Because otherwise, it's not going to last. All right? It's just going to fall away. Something's going to hit it, and it's going to be right back where it was. So that's the whole thing is, you know, and the Father, who did Jesus die for? Well, people say, well, he died for me. Yeah, he did in a way, but he died for the Father. The Father so loved the world, okay? He died for the Father, for us, okay? And even sweated blood over it. And he even said, Lord, if you take this cup from me, but your will be done, not mine. So people who have father images, they have no idea. And plus, the Heavenly Father, he's in heaven. So when you're in heaven, okay, when you die, you have your earthly, you know, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. They're really your brothers and sisters. There's no fathers or mothers. The Lord Jesus is the Father. And then you'll see, because you'll understand that you'll accept things from your brothers and sisters that they didn't grow up. You know, like my brother, yeah, he was like a kid. He never grew up. But it's hard to receive that as coming from a father. You expect your father to be grown up. You expect them to be mature. You expect, but some of them don't grow up, and they're not. And they don't treat you right, okay? So all the fathers, they got this thing about God now. God did this, and I tell you what, it's a misconception. But if you explain to them when he's up there, there's only one Heavenly Father, and you're going to find out that your brother and your father, your grandfather, they made mistakes and this and that. You don't know what they're dealing with. They might have been abused. They might have this happen to them and that happened to them, and then they just pass it on. But there's only one Heavenly Father, so you get their eyes off that onto the real Father, and that's when the healing comes. And then bing, 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 things just start happening. You'll be amazed how, you know, a relationship, understanding a relationship heals your body. And knowing really who you are in Christ with the pure stone. But anyway,
well,
I can go on and on and on.
All right, but I want you to know that there are some of us out there that don't know how to receive a relationship with Jesus Christ because of their upbringing, the church they went to, maybe a father abuse, maybe a mother abuse. Lead them into the kingdom. Give them the chance to have what you have.
Well, everything is a choice, Gary. You know, so what we do, we speak to the people first, giving them what they feel. You know, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you feel. And they tell us. Then I answer them from there. And it's challenging them. And it's a choice. And then we just ask the Lord, well, Lord, and they will agree with us. Lord, just we give the Lord permission or the Father permission to speak to you tonight and just to reveal himself to you in a real way. And it does really happen. And people call you up and they change. Or some people decide, okay, they understand what I'm saying. It's the logic, really. And there's the truth. The truth is what sets you free. And you can believe a lie, and the enemy is a liar, you know, of course. But anyway, so the main thing is forgiveness. Okay, even if you say, Lord, help me to forgive him. Lord, help me forgive this person that hurt me. You know, I don't want to forgive him. But you know what? Know what got me with that? If you don't forgive someone for their sins, the Lord will not forgive you of yours. And that's in the Bible. The other thing is revenge is his. Revenge is the Lord's. It's not yours. If you want to live where the enemy has access to you by not forgiving somebody, he'll have access to you so many different ways that you won't even know it. You won't even see it. He speaks to your thoughts, and you think they're your thoughts, and it's the enemy's thoughts. He can control your life, and you won't even know it. You can be miserable. You can walk around with a cloud around you, and it's just because you got to release something. He gave the open door to the enemy. So when I speak that to people, they don't want that open door. Well, if you have a choice, you know, if you forgive them, let's do the forgiveness, then they'll do it. You know, repeat after me, and then we forgive them, and Lord, help me to forgive them. And I choose to, but Lord, just help me. And that makes a big difference. And all of a sudden, this darkness that may be around attached to that stuff, we just break the power of it. You just command to go, and they command to go. I renounce all powers of darkness that I have invited in my life knowingly and unknowingly. I don't want you anymore. I don't need you anymore. I command you to go directly to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and not speak to me again. In fact, I forgive everybody and forgive them through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have anything else to come speak to me, okay, I command you to go to Jesus Christ first, because I know you cannot speak through his blood to me, and I know you cannot come through his blood to me anymore. And I'm telling you what, it's like a freedom that happens. And the nightmares stop, and the thinking about it stops, and everything stops. And it's a journey. It's a journey. If you the Lord, it's from glory to glory. We never arrive. It's just until we see him, like you said, when we see him, we'll be like him. But he's in us. So, you can speak to this stuff. And when the enemy knows that you know who you are, I tell you what, the word goes around in the spirit. And we have people come into our door sometimes, and they're out there, and their teeth will start chattering. And, what's going on? You hold their mouth. I don't know what's going on. I don't worry about it. Sometimes they get really cold. Oh, my goodness, I got this chill. Don't worry about it. Come on in. Hey, how you doing? people bring them to us. And I'll go, first thing I do, because sometimes it's unexpected that they just come, So I go in the bathroom. I said, be right, I got to go to the bathroom. I get on my knees. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Lord, whatever is there, Lord, any judgments, any thoughts, Lord, I just proclaim the blood of Jesus over it. Lord, just cleanse me. And Lord, I just ask you for keen discernment, Lord. And I put the full armor of God on. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I pick up the sword and the shield. And Lord, put me in the front lines. And Lord, just teach me. And Holy Spirit, I just ask, you just teach me. And Lord, I just ask that Captain Warrior Angel, Lord, walks on the right side of me and on the left side of me to do all my spiritual battle. And show me, Lord, what the enemy is doing even before he does it. Before he puts his boots on, Lord, so I can see it, what's going to happen. And then I go out. And I said, here comes Satan. There's nothing in me, kind of. And I go out with an attitude. Okay, Lord, it's your show. I don't know nothing. Just show me what you're doing. And things happen. As simple as that. He's no respecter of people. It's all about him. So get to fall in love with him. And how do you fall in love with him? The pastor, I think I told you, he told me to fall in love with him. You can do nothing of yourself, he told me, okay? Pat, nothing. Nothing of yourself, period, okay? So you got to ask him, Lord, put a hunger and thirst in my heart to fall in love with you. Lord, change my heart. I give you permission. And I'm telling you, within 2 weeks, things will start to happen. You'll start crying for no reason. You'll be sensitive to things that you'll cry about that you never cried about before. You'll be more tuned in with the Lord because he walks with you. He's there all the time, and you'll be speaking to him in a relationship. Draw near to God, as I said before, and he'll draw near to you. And all of a sudden, his love will start doing that. Things will start happening around you. Lord, give me divine appointments. Because what I'm feeling, I want to reach people or just show me. And I'm telling you, he just does it. You'll be getting these divine appointments and one after another. And I keep telling him, so he's not going to leave this. My friends got tired of hearing me. They said, Pat, how come this stuff is happening to you? I mean, don't you talk about anything else? This stuff is so unbelievable what I see. I said, I don't know what else to talk about. It's just like blows me away. So now I get a little bit more used to it. I don't know what he's going to do. And, people roll away from me. Just for an example, I'm going to pray for some guy who has a heart issue. I put my hand in. Before I even said Holy Spirit, I just put my hand on him, and down he went really fast. And sometimes the enemy takes people out so they don't get blessed. It's not always the Lord. And so what happened, I went down to kneel next to him, and an older guy, at that time I was probably in my 40s, and this guy probably in his 60s, and what happened, he stiffened up and he rolled away. The enemy rolled him away. I said, what the heck? So I got up and walked over next to him. He rolled away again, three times over. Each time, three rolls. His glasses were sitting sideways on the grass. His wife was standing there looking like, I went over to pray for him again, meant to go down, and he kept rolling away until finally he landed up against a tree, and his back was up against a tree. And I tell you, his back arched around that tree, his head arched around, and he started shaking because he couldn't get away. I said, I got you now. So I just nailed right down to him. I just broke the power of this thing. I spoke things over him and finally just released him. And I haven't asked the Lord in his heart, even though he was already saved. I really don't care. I want to know that they're saved, because a lot of times people are saved, they can't even say Jesus. Like my prayer is very simple. Lord Jesus, come in my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sins, even hidden sins in my heart that I'm not aware of. And fill me with your Holy Spirit right now, in Jesus' name. And sometimes you say, just say,
amen.
Say, Lord Jesus, but they can't do it. They say, Lord, G. And these are people in church. So,
yeah.
Hey.
The thing is that there's a lack of experience in a lot of these people attending church and directing church. They're wonderful people. They got a great heart, but they have no wisdom. And they don't ask the Lord what to do.
Yeah. Well, they don't believe
and
the Lord
you have said that there's nothing you can do. You have to ask the Lord.
Yeah.
And,
It's a real good teaching book, and it's all different stories that you'll remember. Believe me, you'll remember them. And out of the remembering of the stories, you know what to expect or what to do. And remember, the Lord's in control, and you just got to trust Him and give you divine appointments. And it's cutting people's lives free. I tell you, it's so, I can't explain it. It's better than winning the lottery. You know, I never won a lottery, but I tell you what, I would have seven people come to the Lord and get set free from stuff. Oh, coming to the Lord is a simple part for me because I can talk to anybody. I just go up to Him. I don't really give Him too much of a choice because I see the Lord jump on Him either way. And I don't lead Him into, like, you know, different things. I just, hey, just look at me. Hey, can I bless you? You know, if I don't know, hey, how you doing? Hey, can I bless your hand? All right, let me bless your work. You know, your finances. Sure, no problem. You know, yeah, give me your hands. Okay, Lord, just bless his life. Lord, bless his health. Lord, bless his thing. And then I'll say, you know, I know you've done this already, but just look at me. Just say, Lord Jesus, come in my heart. And I give the prayer, and they speak it. And I speak things, and next thing you know, I tell you what, the Lord jumps on these people. They'll call me the next day. Hey, listen, I don't want to. I don't know, but man, I slept really good last night. Nothing bothered me, and well, yeah, they belong to Him. And then they need to be in a spirit-filled church to continue with it, to teach them stuff. Otherwise, it kind of falls away. You know, unfortunately.
Well, I tell you, you have to buy the book, and you have to. It'll be your life changing forever. So it's Lives Forever Changed by Pat Barrett. And, Pat, how can they get a hold of a copy of that book?
Well, we're on Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble's. But we also have our own BarrettMinistries.org, which is a little bit cheaper because online they seem to charge you more for postage. And then we also have an ebook online. It's like $4.95. Some people don't like to read books, and they want to just read, you know, an ebook. And other people want to underline things. They want a book. But anyway, it's on BarrettMinistries.org. And we're like an ordained minister too, you know, under a CFM, which is a Christian, CFM means a Christian for Messiah Ministries.
Yeah.
Under Dr. Peter Wins. But anyway.
Is there a number that they can call?
I have a number, but you know, I haven't used it. I used it on your program, but I haven't used it in so long, but I can give you my number. It's a 704.
Okay.
704-919-6829.
All right. You got that.
And now,
say it again.
Pat Barrett. Yeah, it's Pat Barrett. .org. And my phone number is 704-919-6829.
That phone call will change your life and your calling and your destiny, because now you know you have one. God didn't plan for you to be just another baby born. You were born with a destiny. And I also want to take communion. So we haven't done that yet. And we're running out of time. And the Lord Jesus in the 1 Corinthians 11, is 23 through 26. And the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And I tell you, my wife and I take daily communion, and I have not been sick now, for 8.5 years since I started. Not one day. I've had other issues, yes. We can't make it sound nice all the time, but it's God's grace and mercy and love and compassion on you, who he loves with all his heart. And then in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until what? Until he comes. Now, I'll tell you, all of this that you've heard is in preparation of his Lord coming back. And you have to be ready. I tell you, I wasn't ready. And I tell you, I did something about it by inviting Jesus into my heart and conversing and communing with the Lord every day. Let's take this wine cup now, and let's take the bread. So we take the bread and break it. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I am healed, and so are you. All right. Then I take the cup with you, and I say, the blood shed on the cross covers my sins, and they are remembered no more. Washed clean by the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I want one more thing. I want one more thing to read you. We go through this because Pat mentioned relationship. I knew about religion. I grew up in religion. Well, what is the difference about having a relationship? And let me tell you what the word says to say. So 2 Corinthians 6:2 and 16 through 18 says, God speaking, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on this day of salvation, you gave your life to the Lord tonight? Awesome! I helped you. That's what he said. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. there's more to read, so let me go on. And I will dwell in them. I what? I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Pat, you're right. There's a relationship here. And, of course, he knows the old days. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will what? I will welcome you. I can. And then it goes on to say, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I can't believe that. You see, the words spoken tonight have a way of changing your lives. And the books that are have been written and shared tonight are going to be life-changing and relationship-changing in these last days, I should say. So I can't thank you enough, Pat Barrett, for writing this book, which has changed the foreword in this book, changed my life. Not the stories, the foreword. Who you are in Christ and the power and strength and quality of relationship that you have. Pat, thank you,
yep.
Thank you, thank you. You've opened the door. Now let me walk through it, as it says in Isaiah 22:22. God has brought you on our program to open the door of relationship. Thank you for taking this time because, ladies and gentlemen, you see, he can be used anywhere at any time for any reason because he listens to God and God directs his feet, his hands, his eyes, his brain, his heart, and brings him home where they had no home. Brother Shannon?
Great word today, Brother Pat. Real honor to have you on. And one more time, if someone would like to get your book, where do they go?
We have BarrettMinistries.org. Okay, and that's where the book and ebook that we have. Or I gave Gary my phone number, which I really don't give out, but that's fine because, hey, it's 704-919-6829. And I live in South Carolina, Fort Mill, just so you know the area. And, from New York, upstate New York. So we've been down here for a number of years. So, but that's it. That's my cell number.
We don't have a phone. Spell your last name for us so we get the right website.
Yours. It's Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, Ministries. It's MINISTRIES.org.
Okay, fantastic. I'll be going there tonight myself, folks. Please check that out. And if you'd like to get that book, you can get it there. Also, I think on Amazon as well. And Brother yeah. Pat, we look forward to having you back on again. Brother Gary, make sure you get him scheduled again soon. And what would...
I hardly know the man. Yeah. Anybody less than 45 years, I might not know him.
Brother Gary, how do people get in touch with you and your ministry?
Oh, well, that's justintimeministries.com. And if you have a prayer request, we pray for those who will get well, and we believe in the power of prayer. Just in Time Ministries 15 at gmail.com.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on tonight. God bless you both. We'll see you again soon.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
Hey. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. Okay, man.
Hey. Folks, we're going to save that and be back in a minute. Our second stream is down. Something's going on with the software. I've got to work on that later. But MixLR is running as well as Blog Talk Radio. So stand by for the refresh.